love you. I'm in the World Trade Center. The building was hit by something. I don't know if I'm going to get out, but I love you very much.
Hello, I'm Jerry Pippenham. We're working on the Internet's most independent behind-the-scenes series on 9/11. Who did it? Why? How? In an effort to get the real story, we have spent hundreds of man-hours of investigative reporting. One of those helping us is one of the nation's premier private eyes, Gordon Novell. Novell is one of the advisors for this series. We thought it would be a good idea to let you meet the real Gordon Novell. So here he is, up close and personal, to talk to us about Novell's lives, his loves, his adventures. Gordon Novell, welcome to the show. Gordon, referred to as the private eye, what you know, you're a secret agent, I think. businessman, what kind of title do you want?
I'm sort of an industrialist.
Okay, an industrialist.
Yeah,
Gordon Novell, industrialist.
Yeah, right.
One of the things a lot of people don't understand, or maybe haven't read about your background, is you've been interested in the theater all along, too. You were at the Pasadena Playhouse, right?
As a kid, yeah.
I always wanted to make it there, never did. So
yeah.
If I remember correctly, you had to audition or something to get in.
Oh, yeah. You had to do a little number.
So what were you in?
I wasn't interested in acting as much as I was interested in producing and directing.
But you did something with Michael Todd. Remember him? Yeah, I worked in the 80 days?
I worked for him when he was building his balloons and built some of those original display balloons that were used for the film.
Now,
at the meeting.
So this is... This is really, and I guess a lot of people say, well, Pippin, you need to settle down. You need to get into one area. But I don't even, you know, I can't hold a candle to you, Gordon. You've done everything from Waco investigations to you name it.
Watergate, JFK, you name it. Worked on them all.
Now, in that, a lot of people know you from the Kennedy movie. They got that wrong about you, didn't they?
The movie was right. It portrayed me as the Mr. X character who was advising Garrison inaccurately, which is what I was doing.
So that was a disinformation deal? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I was kind of working at the White House at the same time I was working for Garrison, and he figured I was working for CIA, which was wrong, and decided to make me a CIA agent, which I've never been able to shed. And it's not that I want to shed it. It's just that
it's a good image. You get a good seat at a restaurant, though.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a good seat, he'll kill you.
That's right.
You've never killed.
No, I avoid that assiduously. You know, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Bad karma. Lots of bad karma.
Well. And now I understand that you've been talking to some of your sources in Washington, and you're very connected to some people in the CIA. If you didn't work for them, you know them pretty well.
We have a mutual admiration society.
Okay. Now I know for a fact that you have certain people at the CIA that do have their arms around you.
Oh yeah, yeah. We have. Like I said, we're very affectionate.
and so. There is an element of protection here, and you've had experience of doing things like this with people before.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lyndon Johnson said you grab them by whatever, you have their hearts and minds.
That was Chuck Colson. I used to work for Colson.
Oh, Chuck said that.
Yeah, he's the one. Walk over his grandmother. Get President Nixon elected.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with almost all types and all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
Over the years, when you did, they came a long way from the Pasadena Playhouse to working for Garrison and working out at the White House at the same time. How'd that happen?
Well, I was working at the White House doing an electronic countermeasures project called Checkmate, and when Garrison started to come out of the closet with his little fairy tale, they said, Gordon, don't you know him? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can you get a job and kind of get us some inside information? Me, I thought I was James Bond, and I was really a jackass, and was wet behind the ears, and didn't realize I was about to step on landmines. And So, but I did it anyway, and I got him, and pretty much destroyed him, and I'm pretty proud of that, because he was full of bull. He was really grand fraud.
You've been asked many times about JFK. You were involved with Waco, too.
Yeah, I worked...
That was a civil suit, right?
Yeah, I worked for Ramsey Clark, and we prepared a civil suit. We took to the Supreme Court.
Now he's a former attorney general, of course.
Yeah, I worked for him for a decade.
And when you talk about Ramsey Clark, a lot of people, he had a high profile, still does.
Yeah.
He's still practicing, right?
Yeah, his last case he lost, Saddam got hung. he represented Saddam Hussein, and they lost.
You really didn't go out looking for controversy all the time, even though you got an interesting kind of a character trait that I have. Sometimes it's fun to get in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. Some of them deserve it, They really do, and the bigger the better. And they've expressed themselves rather angrily in 2005, but they didn't succeed in convincing me.
Tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Oh, it got terrible. They were planting dope on me and causing me to go to jail and stuff like that, but they couldn't indict me, and they couldn't even get me to arraignment because their cases... I'm a pretty fair detective, and I'd make their cases fall apart by threatening the DAs with big lawsuits.
And where did this happen? In Vegas?
It happened in Vegas. It happened in New Orleans. It happened in Phoenix. They hit me with a SWAT team in Phoenix and had me sticking machine guns in my face one night in Phoenix over saying that I was on America's Most Wanted. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not on America's Most Wanted, but you're going to be in federal court tomorrow morning if you don't pull that machine gun down real quick.
And they did this right in a public place.
Oh, yeah, they did it in a public place. So I got rather angry. I called Ramsey on the phone and handed him the phone, told him, I said, I'm his chief investigator, and you better cease and desist because we will sue you all the way to the Supreme Court for the whole value of the city.
Who were these characters that were doing this?
They were a SWAT team. There was
from the police department itself?
Five-man SWAT team. Five machine guns right in my face.
and who do you think sicked them on you?
Well, there are two options. A friend of the actress Linda Gray by the name of Sandra Rose Michael did it, or it was the boys from Majestic, and at this point it's kind of a toss-up. I don't know who. Linda was a little unhappy with me. And
were you having an affair with Linda?
No, we were having an affair.
I was going to congratulate you. I didn't know, but I guess she turned out not to be as friendly as she is on television.
No, they faked some love letters that were not what she wanted to hear, and so she bought off on their fake love letters, and we didn't know that they could just intercept your stuff on the computer and rewrite it and forward it on. And they do that these days. They're really crafty. We are run by a government of gangsters.
They can actually take an email and change it?
Instantly.
It doesn't take any time.
No, they do it quick. Believe me, they're really quick at rewriting emails.
Is there any way we can tell if they're doing it to you?
Not unless you can get the email that you sent out to somebody.
And compare it
to them.
Well, that explains my poor relationship with a lot of people.
They're really good at destabilizing you if they want to destabilize you. They can cause you a ton of grief. They can blackbag your apartment and steal your 125 videotapes. I want back, gentlemen. And if I don't get them back, you're going to pay for them. Believe me, one way or another, you're going to give me those tapes back.
And would they take those away from your apartment?
Yeah, I had an apartment in Vegas, and they kindly went in there without permission and boo-rayed them.
You've been around the country, but two of the cities that you've operated out of, Las Vegas and New Orleans, they have a huge underbelly of activity from several standpoints.
Oh, yeah, Vegas particularly. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
The slogan was true.
Yeah, I had an incident where a guy knocked on my door at 10 o'clock one morning. I was getting ready to go to the dentist. I opened the door, and he pulled a Glock 45 and stuck it in my face.
It's a 9mm.
Yeah,
right?
A big one. No, this is a big...
Oh, the big one.
The big one. He told me, he started hollering at me, and I knew he was nuts or just there for intimidation purposes. So I slammed the door, and I picked up the phone, and I called the cops and the front desk. And he knocks the door down. The cops come. He hides the gun. I kind of disturbed him with the idea of stabbing him a half a dozen times with a paring knife. And so he
In other words, the knife had just happened to be there.
It was on the counter that he had me backed up against.
And I guess, really, I haven't researched this, but you probably have. If you got shot and you were close enough of a knife,
you can
probably
stab him a few times before you die.
You could do some damage.
Oh, you can definitely do some damage before you die.
Yeah, okay.
That was why the .45 got invented in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Maori Indians in the
film. Now, did you and all of your investigating time, did you ever carry a weapon?
No, I don't like them. I think they're dangerous. I think they get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you got one, you might want to use it.
I have a little pocket-blinding laser that'll cause your eyeballs to fall out your head and stop your heart, and it's quite legal to have it. It's very painful.
Well, I'm going to remember not to upset you.
Yeah, it's known to stop. It's faster than a bullet, I can assure you.
Now, when we talk about these things like that, why do you think there's all this violence and investigations and things? I mean, everybody knows about James Bond and all those things, but I guess really the secret here is two-pronged, control and greed, from people that want it. If you got some knowledge, they want it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
people just naturally nasty?
They just naturally don't have anything better to do than they intimidate people just for entertainment. They like to intimidate people, and I don't intimidate, so that caused a lot of friction, lots of friction.
Now, you're talking about people that work for decent operations normally, right? And they're nothing but two-bit hoods.
Yeah, that's just what I call it. It's government by gangster these days. It's been government by gangster since they murdered Kennedy. And we're heading into a state of what I call the Fourth Reich. We really are heading in. We are a fascist nation now, and we're a quasi-military police state. I got searched for a gun the other day getting on a bus, on a Greyhound bus to come out here. So they shook me down for a gun and shook my luggage down. And what was I going to do? Steal the bus and say, take me to Cuba?
You know, one of those, that's a strange thing. Those bus stations and they go through these little towns. If you were going to get on and cause mayhem, you'd do it in a little town, not in a major bus stop.
Yeah, well, like I said, what am I going to do? Steal a bus and get the driver to take me to Cuba? You know, what am I going to do with a bus?
Right,
you know, get real.
So you're getting hassled still.
Well, I think they hassle everybody. I mean, from what I could see, they were searching everybody at the bus station for weapons and asking them to open their bags and, you know, like you're going to blow up the bus or something. I mean, it's ludicrous. We are heading into a military police state, and even the local cops have got to have their Gestapo fascist tactics, and I don't want to call them the real names I'd like to spew out to them, but they're just fascist, illegitimate sons of Basil or Basil.
Right. No. Do you think this has been... It seems like we've been progressing that way all along. Is some sort of plan?
They want to put us under a military police state condition. I really believe that. That's why I believe they did 9/11. I'm a fan of the big conspiracy at 9/11 too. I saw them do it at Waco, so I know.
Yeah, well, we're as you know, doing a 9/11 series, and you were a good friend with Jim Mars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. We're going to be right back with Gordon Novell. We kind of bounced around this first 15 minutes because we'll give you a flavor of what we're going to be talking about here. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Gordon Novell is our guest. We're here on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin at the Aquarius Casino Resort. You know, you just mentioned something. You mentioned Al-Qaeda. You, back there in the Carter administration, I think you were involved in some terrorism investigations or something, right? A hostage or something?
Yeah, I got a hostage out of Beirut. That was, I don't brag about it, but it was a very rough proposition.
Well, didn't they catch you during the process of it?
Yeah, that was the idea. I had to get caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't go in there.
How do you volunteer for something like that?
By somebody writing a check for $50,000. That's how. Give me the $50,000 and I'll go do your deed.
And so you did it, and they released you too. Obviously, you're here.
They like me. They were impressed because I had a letter from Khomeini that gave me authorization, a fatwa letter, to get this hostage out.
Was it a real letter?
Oh yeah, it was from Khomeini. They held me in prison for a couple of weeks while they checked the letter out before they released the hostage for me.
And so you're no stranger to danger. What's the most dangerous thing you've done? Fooling
around with some women that I
wish I
hadn't fooled around with.
Well, hey, well, you know, you ended up in court.
I had some good time.
You had one time over women, so we don't want to get into that subject.
Yeah, I married a couple of beautiful ones. It was a mistake.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
And I like the charm of it all, huh?
Yeah, but that's so.
Well, that goes back because you went to Hollywood early on. Were you going to be an actor, producing and directing?
Yeah, but.
Well, you had to deal with some unsavory characters like that in New Orleans, too.
Oh, yeah, well,
I meant if the movie was even close, when they're talking to you about it, you were out there doing a lot of things. I'm talking about the JFK movie now.
Oh, yeah. I got kind of close to that. That was a little bit. I got too close to the candle for the flame. Yeah. The flame was a little warm. Next thing I know, I go from being Garrison's chief of security one day to his most important material witness the next day. That's quick.
Now, I understand that. Now, you really feel, don't you, Gordon? And you know, I know you know deep in your heart and probably have evidence for it, that the same people that did Kennedy and are still around doing everybody else.
I would have to believe that based on what I know, that the people who whacked Kennedy were a combination of the German Galen organization and probably Majestic 12 and some folks from the FBI because they had to cover it up. And the mafia who probably pulled the triggers.
As your good friend Jim Morris says, all of the suspects.
All the suspects. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they had a nice little show going out.
It's not easy to get here. Gordon ended up taking a bus.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get here at all. Gordon, I took a bus here once.
Yeah.
That's the reason I knew about the bus station in a major. They shake everybody down, then they go down about 60 miles, and anybody can get on that bus if wanted to. So
yeah,
it's kind of silly.
Like I said, you know, what?
It seems to me that we've had lots of strange things like that happening over the years, and this Homeland Security issue all the way around looks like it's just a way to make money.
It's a farce. I mean, the whole system today is a grand farce. I mean, all these. Let me have the terrorists. I would rather have my freedoms, and you can scare the hell out, and let the terrorists go ahead and scare the hell out of me. But let me have my freedoms. All right. Don't fool with my freedoms. I'll take my risk with the terrorists. Don't worry.
Speaking of freedom, you were involved in Watergate, and you almost lost your freedom.
Yeah, well, I almost went to jail for conspiracy to obstruct justice and erasing all the tapes. So I was accused of that, and I was guilty. So,
so you're going to confess now?
Yeah,
past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, past the statute. Yeah, but I managed to counter-intimidate Jaworski and threaten to expose his hand.
That's a special prosecutor.
Yeah, he wanted me to come home, and he was very angry at me for conspiring with Colson to erase all the tapes. And
what kind of guy is Chuck Colson, really? I guess he was rotten then, and he went to prison and turned out to be a minister.
No, I liked him when he was rotten.
I know that. I can tell that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real human being. Yeah. I mean, anybody to walk over his grandmother and step on his grandmother to get a president elected is my kind of guy. But, you know, he was real friendly until he got to prison. After he got to prison, he ratted me out on the tapes thing about. And I don't know whether that traded him some years. I hope it did. But
What was going on with Watergate there? I mean, it seems like it's such a minor crime.
Watergate was a totally bogus operation. It was caused by USA versus Novell for interstate transportation of electronic intelligence equipment in Reno in 1969.
Now, you're pretty good at electronic intelligence, right?
They say I am.
Okay, I have. So,
some people say I am.
Well, I've heard that before. It's the reason I said that.
Yeah.
I've said that. So you've done your... your share of sort of stuff.
I've heard some.
Can you give me a little background?
Well, it started off with me developing a machine that I put in the Oval Office at the White House that made it impossible for foreign agents to bug the president's conversations or a sleeper agent on the National Security Council walking in and tape recording the thing. That, in turn, got me into other things. But, yes, I have made surveillance equipment in the past. The best there ever was. I invented about half of it.
You're no stranger to technology.
No, I like technology.
And so we're talking about Gordon Novell, who's been involved in all kinds of government intelligence and counterintelligence operations. But at the same time, you got a brain there. You've done a lot of developing of a lot of different things, including all this intel equipment.
Yeah, well, I've done some interesting stuff in the past. So we like to. I've built some technologies and got some patents that worked out and keep me afloat. Nickel a here or two, you know.
But there are good guys in the CIA, in other words.
Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you that the CIA is like a bunch of Eagle Scouts. They're my favorite bunch of guys because they're all patriotic. Most of them that reported about the weapons of mass destruction were not there. Our guy wrote 14 reports and said, hey, they're not there. That's BS. Don't do it. And I did everything I could to stop the invasion, but Ramsey and I don't have drag enough weight to overcome the likes of a Rumsfeld. You know.
When we talk about what's going on today, we get back to 9/11. Jim Mars and I are working on a series on 9/11. It'll premiere in 2 weeks. And Gordon, you a well-known person. I'd like to maybe get your help occasionally.
Oh, well,
can I run some few things by you and see what you think about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
And
9/11
the check is in the mail.
Yeah, 9/11's bogus. It's bogus gets. I mean, it's Kennedy all over again. Just a big. They've learned how to go from killing a president to killing off 3,000 Americans. You know, where is Osama bin Laden? I mean, you know, he can find a roach in the rainforest in Brazil, and we can't find Osama bin Laden because they don't want to find him. And they don't want to find him because Bush is still friendly with the bin Laden family. And Osama is still a member of the family. So, you know, they don't want to find him. It's bogus. It's all bogus. Everything's bogus. There is no find Osama and get Osama.
We are going to go into great detail on that in some future shows. And Gordon, as you heard here on the air, is committed to help us a little with this. Did you think they planned 9/11 the way it turned out?
When I saw that building number 7 come down that afternoon, I knew that all was bogus because you can't wire a building and blow it up that quick. And why did they blow up the building? There was nothing the matter with the building. There was nothing the matter. That guy just collected insurance. That guy, Paul Silverman, or whatever his name is a gangster.
Yeah.
They're criminals.
And Silverstein.
Silverstein,
if we're going to get sued for libel, we might as well do it right.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Silverstein is a crook. He's a crook who insured the buildings and got his money and took them down.
Now, you went to Waco and you did an investigation, and our buddy Bob Ricks, of the FBI, we've had a few run-ins, but you not like you.
I always thought Mr. Ricks was a major league war criminal.
And he
killed a bunch of babies and women and children. Gassed them, shot them, burned them alive.
And you guys went to court on that case, and you had to do it civilly, right?
Yeah, and the judge that we had to face was the judge who engineered it to begin with, Walter Smith. He's the one that caused it. He's the one who actually caused Waco to happen. So how could we win? And then the fascist fifth backed him up, and the supreme fascist group up there that Bush appointed, they backed them all up. You can't beat the government. If you catch them dead-handed, they're going to let them go. That's why 9/11, I don't know if we'll ever, if we could get them to confess, I'm not sure that that would help.
It seems to me that when we're talking about these things, and you've been involved since the early 60s, were you ever, did you come on board after the Bay of Pigs or before?
During.
During, okay.
I got accused of burglary of an ammunition dump with a whole bunch of CIA materials with CIA stamped all over it, stamped Inner Arms, which was a CIA proprietary.
Did you?
Owned by Sam Cummings. No, we didn't burglarize anything. We just gave the Cubans what I was told to give them. My control just happened to pop up. I had a drag strip, and the bunker was out there filled full of these neat explosives, and we just backed the truck up and took them all out, sent them over to Cuba. Boom, bang, went in for the Bay of Pigs. They were diversionary explosives. But later Garrison found out about it and charged me with burglary, but nobody ever prosecuted me because I didn't steal anything. Can't steal what belongs to you.
That's a good argument. You've had a special relationship with Ramsey Clark all this time.
Yeah, I've been Mr. Clark's Doberman since about 1966, 67. I started working for him when I was coming out of the White House.
We've been talking to Gordon Novell. We have about 10, 12 more minutes on another segment, but we wanted to flush these things out. I was skipping around a lot, Gordon, but basically we wanted to flush these things out and let people know. Gordon Novell is here, and he's ready to go public, and you have been doing it for a little while.
Yeah, for the last couple of months, I'm taking the high road because I figure it's harder to kill somebody who's visible than to kill them when they ain't.
Well, yeah. That's been my hope.
Yeah.
And I hope you're right.
Well, I do have those CD-ROMs I told you about.
Yes, you do. You have a little insurance.
I have a little catastrophe insurance is what I call it. If these CD-ROMs got on the web, the stock markets would crash in a month. In very rapid order.
You just heard Gordon Novell explain how he's still here. A lot of people have been listening to this conversation saying, well, if that's really happening, how come they didn't just knock him off? Because they do knock people off, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't kill that which is going to destroy you.
We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippen.
Stores are finally open at shopjerrypippen.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippen UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippen.com.
We're now talking to Gordon Novell here in Laughlin, Nevada. I'm Jerry Pippen. Gordon, you've gone public, a public man. We just talked about that. You're a great guy for study groups and research.
Yeah,
a lot
of
people don't know that about you, but you really are.
Yeah.
What's the story on chemtrails?
Chemtrails is a super secret program spending billions of dollars daily to put up stuff in the atmosphere to try to keep the heat from burning up the ground and making things hot enough to ultimately melt everything. They're flying them over as many chemtrail flights over the pole as there is anywhere else on Earth. So they're, if you look up in the sky, you can see
them. So they're trying to reflect the heat or
Those trails spread out into clouds, and the clouds reflect the heat up every day, and they do it. They start off early in the morning, and by the afternoon, they got some clouds, and so they cut the heat by about 50%. And it's nothing, but if you look at those planes, there's no end number on their tails. They're big, huge airliners. They're carrying about 300,000 pounds of aluminum oxide and other cute little barium oxide. They're distributing it, and they're causing a lot of people a lot of environmental problems, but they don't give a damn because they're worried about killing the heat. So chemtrails is all about global warming.
And global warming, as we mentioned, the main problem is the tundra melts. The gases get in the air, and that kills people. But
All that ice, all that ice under the polar caps is full of methane. You can take a chunk of that ice out of a bore bit and pull it up, and you can literally put a match to the ice. And the gas is constantly vapor. I mean, once you take it out of its covers, it'll release into the atmosphere, and there's about 70 trillion tons of it, and that's enough to set the whole Earth into go boom, burn up everything on the planet overnight. And in fact, one big boom, and it flashes, and there's no oxygen left for anybody to breathe if you survive the fires, because it'll catch everything on fire, and we're all going to be toast. They don't tell you how bad it really is, because global warming goes to global burning, global heating goes to global burning, and you can literally fry the whole Earth. That's the big problem, and that's the super secret. And where that money's coming from, everybody would love to know. I'd love to know, how are they funding it? You know, because it's a huge program. It's billions.
Many
billions.
So
it costs money to fly them big airplanes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, just fuel alone. Well, we can do that. If they don't, then they can watch themselves in the movie, because we're going to paint them as the gangsters they are.
What do you think they really think, these guys? Or they just don't care?
They most of them collect a paycheck and click their heels to some generals who click their heels to some bankers in Europe. I call them gangbangsters. And the gangbangsters run the world and tell us what to do, and the generals work for them.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to promise the audience that we'd find your take on MJ-12. What's the deal there? This is a secret society.
Yeah, secret apparat, which means an intelligence arm, and it's been out there since probably in the early 40s, as early as maybe the late 30s, early 40s.
Is this a spinoff of the old Illuminati, or is this something
different? No, they were originally created by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and by General Marshall.
So this is a U.S. creation.
Yeah. But except that at that point, Kissinger turned it all over to the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers.
When we talk about, can we name names? I mean, McConnell, appointment of Bush. I've always heard his name connected with.
Yeah, well, he's supposedly MJ-1, and now he's the head of our intelligence organization, so it looks like they've had a coup.
And we didn't even notice.
Yeah, nobody saw him coming.
Okay. And then we got Gates over there at defense. Is that significant?
It's significant because Admiral Inman, who used to be a friend of mine, is MJ.
He said he used to be. What happened?
Well, he won't talk to me now.
Really?
I don't know. He won't return my phone calls.
Hmm.
So I'm a little unhappy with Robert.
Now, Inman knows all about this.
Oh, absolutely.
You think Stansfield Turner does? Now, you worked in that administration.
I don't know about...
He seems like a decent guy.
About that Admiral Turner and
yeah.
We're not at odds. I'm not at odds with anybody. They say I'm a super patriot around the CIA these days.
Yep.
So I can't tell you anything except what I know, and what I know is that
basically, folks, it's GordonNovell@yahoo.com and
G.Novell@yahoo.com.
Okay, we'll get it right.
Yeah.
And he's the only man I know that's wired. First time I met him, he was in a suit, had a tie, something in his ear, a little BlackBerry thing in his arm, and he was talking to me, talking to other people, and getting messages. What's that earphone, a cell phone?
No, that's one of those Bluetooth earphones.
Okay.
That's hands-free.
Okay, so
that lets, so lets you, me play with...
You're connected.
Yeah, I'm wired. I'm wired.
Gordon, it's been a pleasure. And we've got to do something to save this country, save the world.
I don't want to be saving the world. I just want to get the money.
There's an honest man for you, and that's a good way to close the show. Roberta Scott's been our in-studio producer, actually on location. We're not in the studio here. We're in the lobby of the convention center at the Aquarius Resort Hotel. Our tape editor's James Fortley. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Cheers.